Welcome to the Pastor's Corner Talk Show. My name is David Gibson. I'm here with my pastor, Senior Pastor of Spirit of Life Fellowship at Venice Church, Pastor William Dawson. We would like to thank those of you that have shown up in person as well as those of you who are listening online. Today, the topic for our show is Understanding Kingdom Assignment. Pastor, I think we're just going to dig right into this. When you hear the term kingdom assignment, what's the first thing? What goes through your mind?
Well, my mind has actually shifted from my earlier understanding to where it is now. When I first heard the term kingdom assignment, I thought in general, the kingdom of God, didn't think much of it. Now I'm understanding king, the connection with a king who has rules and regulations and boundaries and restrictions and methods of operation. So now it goes through my mind. I really get excited about the term kingdom of God because I see a very practical way to operate in this world but receive instructions from God's throne to literally do what he wants done. And so I see it as a governmental, operational, structural method of getting instructions to you, supplies, all of that, like an army getting the necessary supplies to their people out in the field. Mm. We're on earth, and we're operating the kingdom of God on earth. We're literally taking over the earth on his behalf, and we have to get instructions and have the supply chain to get all of that done.
Okay, so now you have a deeper understanding. It's more than just, how can I put it? It's more than just, you're seeing it more spiritually. You've made that connection in terms of.
I see it as spiritual, but I also see it as very practical. What I believe I'm trying to say is that now I see it as more real, whereas before I just saw it as a word. You know, kingdom of God, then you know, whatever. You know, now I see it as that is really defining how I get help from God and what I'm supposed to do for God.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah. So how would you define or how would you explain to someone the term kingdom assignment? What is the definition?
Okay, here's what I believe it is. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them for a purpose. He literally planted a garden. God, the Bible said, planted a garden and put them in the garden to keep it, to dress it and keep it. So they had an assignment from God. They had something they were supposed to do that he set up for them to do. So my kingdom assignment is, what was I born into this earth to do? Was I born in here to live in houses, to drive cars, to ride on airplanes, to have jobs and careers? Or was I born into this world that I'm to use the cars, the houses, the careers, the airplanes, and all of that to do my kingdom assignment? Everyone is literally born to do something. And that assignment we have to find out from God. What exactly were you born to do? And once you find that, man, you'll be totally satisfied with the car, the house, the career, the job, and all of that.
I believe it.
Because you'll be fulfilled in doing what you were born to do.
I believe it. I got a testimony on that. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about it, but I got a testimony on that.
Yeah, we'd love to hear that.
So is kingdom assignment, is that centered around skills, gifts, talents, purpose, or is it a combination of all of them?
See, I see it more as purpose, and I don't see it as so much a focus of my talents and gifts because my talents and gifts will grow as I become clear on my purpose.
I see.
A good example of that, people have been talking about my ability to preach, and they say, you're a preacher's preacher. That grew as a result of me becoming clear of my purpose because my early sermons were nowhere near. I'm telling you, people were falling over in the pews laughing, so I wouldn't see them. You know how they fell over, you know, lean over. They were laughing, man. The pastor would do announcements and preach because my sermon was so bad. You know, he'd pretend it was an announcement, but it really was feeding the people. I didn't feed them. So as it became clearer what my purpose was, then I found that other gifts and talents came along with that understanding. And I think sometimes we focus too much on what am I able to do versus what am I called to do? When I understand what I'm called to do, then I would grow. I would learn more. My talents would literally increase. I would seek more from God and actually rather than being the one talent guy, end up being the two talent guy, the five talent guy.
So once you know your calling, then your ability will eventually catch up with that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, or a little more so. I'm saying once I know my purpose. And here is where I believe the difference is with most people. Some of us are just living. I call them just basic people. We're just like basic people. We're just live. That's all we do. Whatever living is about, that's all we do. Other people are seeking God and trying to understand what exactly is my purpose. What am I supposed to do that improves this world, but is also rewarding to me to do? So I may be a builder. That's what I'm called to do. I may be a mechanic. So I'm fixing the cars of individuals to help them to do whatever. What is it that I'm doing, and how am I doing it that ties into making the world better?
What scriptural reference gives insight into, if you had to point someone to a particular section within the Bible, what?
I would use Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to be preaching on that in a particular sermon coming up when I talk about the kingdom of God. But rather than go into all the verses, if you look in Acts chapter 9, that's when Saul was converted. Saul is a good example because he was doing one thing, God converted. And God said, hey, I want this guy because I have something that I want him to do. It's very clear in the passage. I'm after him because I want him to do something. The church had a problem with this guy because they're saying, how could you want this guy? God said, no, I want him. I got something I want him to do. So when we get converted, we then need to seek God to find out, okay, why did you put your hand on me? Why did you turn my life around? What am I supposed to do for you? Then Saul connected with people in the church to get further growth, to get further understanding. His eyes, the scales did not fall from his eyes until church people got involved. So there is a kingdom assignment that church members had. Can you imagine you were in the church all these years learning how to pray, and finally God comes along. Man, God, I want you to do a miracle in my life. Okay, I got a miracle for you. What's your miracle? You're going to go pray for Saul, right? No, that's the killer. No, you're going to pray for the killer. And his eyes, the scales are going to come out. Wow, okay, you sure? Can you imagine being the guy that you sent over to pray for the killer? Scales come off. So you have your kingdom assignment. He has his, and he's able to do a lot of things for God. The two connect together. That's the clearest passage that has all of the ingredients right in it.
Okay. So as a new believer, someone just stepping into the church, how important is it for them to understand what their purpose is early on?
Very important, because if you just join the church, I give my heart to God and I join the church. Guess what? If we are not careful and prayerful about you, we will have you doing a whole lot of stuff you weren't meant to do. You know? And the danger is in the church, we do stuff out of need and not out of assignment. Everything that's needful to do is not what we're supposed to do.
That's a good point.
Be honest. We could all right now pool every dollar we have, run out in the street, find somebody who's homeless, and put them in a hotel room or put them somewhere for today. That's a need, but that's not necessarily our assignment for us or our funds. Do you follow? So anybody who joins the church needs to really get before God in prayer. And I'm talking about praying, writing it down. God, what is it? Show me. One of the best books to help is that book, Experiencing God, by Henry Blackaby, because you have very specific assignments. And if you follow those, you will find God showing you what you were created to do.
Let me ask you this. Can an assignment change throughout one's lifetime? Is it something that's segmented?
I believe it can change. I believe there are seasons in our lives. So there are some things you may be more gifted to do or more empowered to do when you're younger and differently when you get older. I think there are seasons in our lives, and we have to be open to that. There are also transitional times in our lives. When God will move us from one level to the next level in the spirit or from one dimension to another. So it can change. The thing is, what is my purpose? God shows you your purpose, and he shows you your purpose. And God may come along and give you another purpose or a higher calling or another thing. You're after his will for your life. That is kingdom. Church is, I just want my name on the roll. I want to look like everybody else in church. I want to be sitting in the pew and want somebody to feed me. And I, you know, I have my church and then they have
table,
their church.
Once dinner is done, I'm going home. Man. That's it. Done deal.
Yeah, it's it's done. I've done church versus kingdom. It involves all of my life.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Does one's desires, dreams, and goals, do they necessarily have to be set aside to be effective in fulfilling someone's assignment?
No. I now, this is what I believe from experience. I know from the scripture, it talks about how God will give you the desires of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
We take it as, I desire, God will give me what I desire. The scripture is saying, no, I will give you the desire.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you what to desire so that you'll be desiring what I really want deep inside.
Mm.
The other thing I know from experience is that when you're doing what God has called you to do, it matches up. That's really the dream and the vision, the hope, the drive, the ultimate satisfaction in life. You're doing what he called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You're helping people. You're supporting people, you're leading people, you're guiding, whatever it is he's called you to do, it ties into your dream and vision. You don't have to set that aside unless your dream and vision is something that God doesn't want you to do anyway.
Yeah.
And you're always free to reject God, but you'll be more satisfied if you don't reject him.
Agree. All right. All right. Let me ask you this. Due to time restrictions, I'm going to skip a couple of questions. Let me jump down to this, Pastor. Does the term kingdom assignment, does it apply to the church as well?
Well, I believe it does. Matter of fact, I believe what has happened to the church is that we lost kingdom mentality. Church now, members in the church are raised more by television and culture.
Mm.
My culture will say to me that I'm to dislike somebody who's a Republican or a Democrat. The kingdom is bigger than that. My culture will say to me, somebody who's not of my denomination, is they're less spiritual than I am. Mm-hmm. The kingdom pushes all of that aside.
Mm-hmm.
My culture says to me, what I see on television is the way I ought to live. This is what I ought to strive for. The kingdom is larger than that. My culture says to me, I ought to go after all the material gain I can get. To be have that wrapped all around me, for me. Whereas kingdom says, get all that you can so you can be a blessing to as many as you can.
Mm.
That's a difference. So the church has gotten it mixed up, and I believe the people have, because now we come to church to consume. I come, and I want a fresh word from the Lord. Hey, if I really had a walking relationship with God, I'd be getting fresh word every second, every moment, every hour of the day. I'm not a consumer. I'm coming to contribute what I'm learning from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on target, so now I'm coming to get encouragement to stay on target versus just a consumer of what God has to offer that's going to bless little selfish me.
Has church become more individualistic, more about the individual than as opposed to? Because it sounds like what you're touching upon right there.
Yeah, there's not a corporate understanding. Kingdom says you're here, but you're also part of the kingdom. We're on the same team. We're on the same team. Uh-huh. The guys that are not on our team are the guys who are connected with the evil one. All other church folk on our team. Now, they may not understand everything we understand, and guess what? We certainly don't understand everything they understand.
Uh-huh.
But we're on the same team. God is pulling us together. And what's interesting, when we get to heaven, there would not be a Baptist section. Mm. There would not be an Adventist section. There would not be a Pentecostal section.
Mm-mm.
In heaven, it won't be like that. It won't be a black section, a white section. It'll be kingdom people of every tongue, nation, tribe, and all of that together.
So why is it so hard, the last question, why is it so hard for us church folk? Is it that we take it lightly, or is it that we simply don't understand how deep kingdom assignment is?
I believe, one, we don't understand. The other one, we haven't been taught properly.
Mm.
I've been taught, I better get in church and get the truth, and those people don't have the truth, and I get all of this, and I get in. And so I'm working on me and all the time, and not taught to see what is God doing that's larger than me.
Uh-huh.
So I would restrict God to what I've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be taught that God is always bigger than what I understand and what I'm doing. And when I have that kind of mindset, wait a minute, there's a whole kingdom out there that God is operating. And he's doing stuff, not just locally in my church are things happening. Uh-huh. God is busy all over the place.
And that just sounds like a loophole for the enemy if you don't have a true understanding. Anything that the enemy, any crack that he can get through and exploit, he will. And that sounds like a loophole right there
It is a loophole, and we have to be very clear. There are dangers that people can go overboard in kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They can start abusing the kingdom concept just as people have abused the church concept. I'm emphasizing kingdom because I believe God is calling us back to a balance of the two.
Mm.
And especially in these last days, what God is doing is larger than what one individual church is doing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have the seating capacity in our individual churches for all the people God wants to win.
That's true.
It has to be bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, I want to open it up to any questions from anyone. Do we have anyone here that has any questions about kingdom assignment? If not, then what we'll do, for those of you listening online, I would recommend to you, you can contact us two ways, either by emailing us at support@soulfellowship.com. That's SOLFELLOWSHIP.com. Or you can visit our website, and that's what I would really encourage you to do, to visit our website. Click on the link on the left-hand side that says Contact Us, and you can send us your questions or comments that you have about this particular talk show there as well. If that's it, Pastor, I appreciate it. I know this is a quick one. I know it's a quick show. But I'm sorry. We do have one question.
Yes. And I want to say also, as they come into the mic here, that I do appreciate the opportunity to share with our listening audience these ideas and concepts. We don't feel that we have it all. We want to be a part of what God is doing to make the church better for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. How would you instruct a young person, like a teenager, to seek the kingdom of God, given the peer pressure and all the other things out there?
Yeah, the peer pressure is a tough one for our young people. They actually have to do what Joseph did. Mm. Two things I believe young people need. One, they need good parents, and they need good instruction. Uh-huh. Because most of us at a young age really don't have a clue of what life is about.
Mm-mm.
So I would encourage first the parents to be teaching and praying for their children, that the children understand they have a kingdom purpose. Mm-hmm. And then if I was a young person who did not have parents teaching and training me that, I would begin looking in the Word of God and asking God, please show me what I'm here to do. Why did you give me this intelligence? Why did you give me the mind that you're giving me, the wisdom, the beauty that you're giving me, the understanding?
Mm-hmm.
Ask God. And one thing I find, God loves to talk to young people. Mm-hmm. Write it down, and you will find that he will lead and guide you to exactly what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure is going to be on them. The hormones are going to be hitting them. The exploitation from the media. By the way, society wants young people because they want their money. It's not that they care about them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get them to buy the latest iPod, the latest gadget that's coming out. Sony has a new thing, and I'm not knocking Sony, but Sony has a new thing that has to succeed, or it's going to destroy Sony. Is it Blu-ray connection or the new technology that's coming out that's tied into all of the other services that involved with it? So as Sony puts that product out, they want to make sure that they captured the audience.
Mm-hmm.
In the process of that, our young people have to be taught, you weren't born to be a consumer of Sony products, whether they're good or bad. You were born to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and minister to his kingdom.
Important point. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Once again, for those of you listening online, I would recommend that you listen to the pastor. Pastor, you did say you're going to talk about this more in depth.
Yes, during the sermon that I'll be sharing.
Okay.
What is today? October
28th.
We'll be sharing a sermon on the kingdom. So I hope you listen to that also.
All right. For those who have subscribed online via churchpodcast.com or through the Apple Music Store, I would recommend just come back this evening and we'll have that sermon available. And we're also working to have this thing live on the web so you can, we're getting close, so you can actually view our services, our talk shows, and et cetera online as well.
May I say a word about that? Those of you who are listening to our webcast or services online or going to the website or through Apple Store or through others, we do need your financial support to get the type of equipment that we need to be able to bring you better services. Also, for what we're doing in the ministry, the needs that we have in this facility, the needs to be able to reach out, we need your financial support. So would you consider, as we're approaching the end of the year, making a sizable tax donation toward this ministry, especially in the months of November and December? You can go online and pick up more information about that, but we certainly appreciate your help. You will find this to be good soil. You will also find that what we're presenting will be helpful to people in the body of Christ. We're not isolated from people who love the Lord. We're helpful to everyone that we can be. And so your gifts will be a great benefit and will actually be planted in good soil, especially now during the months of November and December. We'll be happy to get a tax donation receipt back to you. But even beyond that, we want to thank you for your support.
Amen. Amen. And we want to thank you for joining the Pastor's Corner Talk Show. And God bless you.